Okay, good afternoon, everybody. You're all asleep, it seems. Good afternoon. Thank you for joining this session. I know I'm the only one between you and lunch after this, so thank you for attending my session. And also thank you for attending Tech at Amsterdam, Tech at Europe. It's actually been 7 years ago that Amsterdam had Tech at. It was my first Tech at that time. I visited as an attendee, just like you guys. And 7 years later, it's a privilege to be a speaker and to be able to speak to you guys on cloud, on System Center, on Hyper-V. So it's a big step forward. The session is about clouds, or essentially it's about apps, because the apps are the applications we need to run our business, to have them do, sell our products, be competitive. And we've been talking in the past few weeks, in the past few months, a lot about clouds and public clouds and private clouds, but essentially we're creating these clouds, or we're consuming these clouds to be able to run our application. And today in my session, I want to show you how System Center actually helps you maintain, provision, monitor, manage essentially your application on any cloud, whether it's a Microsoft-owned cloud, whether it's public, whether it's private. And I'll show you how you can use System Center today also to build your cloud. Now, allow me to introduce myself. My name is Maarten Goet. I actually live here nearby. I live in Holland. I'm a System Center MVP since 2006, and in my day job, I work at Innovatif, and we provide services in the Netherlands and in Belgium. On System Center, we deploy System Center at mid-size and large clients, and my role there is to architect the solution, and I do that hopefully with a lot of technical info, and I want to share those experiences and share those knowledge with you today. Now, if you look at cloud, it's actually inevitable that while we're starting to modernize our data center and providing the attributes that cloud give you. In the past years and in the past decade, it's all been about traditional computing, the hardware where we run our OS on. And in the past 7 to 8 years, we've highly virtualized our data centers and provided a means of extraction to be able to move workloads around. Now, in the last, I guess, 3 years, you saw that mainly by public clouds, a lot of the end users, a lot of the consumers starting to get used to what a public cloud offers. The fact that we have a self-service portal, the fact that we have almost instant delivery, that we only pay for what we use, and they're expecting to get that same level of functionality in our data center. And that means that going forward for the next few years, we think you'll start modernizing your data center to meet up with those demands. And Microsoft, of course, delivers an attractive solution with that. Now, if you look at the Microsoft cloud, I'll be talking about the public cloud a bit today, about Windows Azure, and even the new functionality where we have infrastructure as a service, where we can actually have persistent VMs running in the Microsoft public cloud. But I'll more also be talking about the Microsoft private cloud, which essentially is System Center, Hyper-V, and other methods combined to provide you a cloud. Now, if you look at cloud and if you look what System Center delivers, System Center cloud and data center management is essentially about three pillars. It's about productive infrastructure, about predictable applications, and about it being your cloud. And if you look at productive infrastructure, you want to take what you have, not start new, not replace things, but just start with what you have and start providing cloud attributes or cloud specifications on that situation. So on the compute, on the storage, on the network, and provide a layer on top of that to be able to have a private cloud. Having that said, we know that in your data centers today, you have a heterogeneous environment. So you might be running Hyper-V already today. You might be running VMware, other methods of Xen server. You have some type of compute, storage, of network, and you want to make use of that situation to provide your cloud. Now, System Center 2012 is also about providing that heterogeneous support. We do support Xen server, we support VMware, we support things like Hyper-V, of course, but also other workloads on top of that. And with VMM 2012, which we'll see in a few minutes, we actually support integration with storage and network as well. But it's also about process automation. Because running a cloud or running the cloud attributes, providing a self-service portal, providing a provisioning process, you actually need to make sure that you can handle all the process steps as well. So if you start provisioning workloads, maybe things around billing or CMDB or other types of process steps that you want to perform, and with System Center 2012, you can do that as well. And we want to provide the self-service infrastructure. It's the key thing end users see, a portal they can go to request their workloads, request their application, and essentially have their request fulfilled. Now, with predictable applications, we want to go one step further than just looking at the hypervisor, looking at the storage, looking at the network. We want to provide in-depth analysis of the application that's running, because it is all about the app. It's the app that enables the business. We want to see whether it's performing, if it's able to connect, if it's secure. We want to provide in-depth analysis, and things like Operations Manager will provide it, and I'll show you that in a demo. We want to do that from a service-centric approach. And service-centric means that today applications are more than just one component. They run on more than one server. They're connected. They have service buses. They have a complexity to it. And want to approach it from the full service perspective. So whether it's monitoring or whether it's maintaining or updating, you want to see how things are related and want to look at that service and manage it as a whole. And then with your cloud, we mean is that with Hyper-V, with System Center, we want to provide you the pace where you can adopt your cloud. So again, not replacing things, just providing a layer on top of that, but in your speed, in the way you can handle it in your situation. With a lot of flexibility, and then providing manageability on all those layers, like I said, physical, virtual, cloud, but also the public cloud if you try to use Windows, Azure, and so on. Now, in my session, I'll dive a bit deeper into the predictable applications on how to monitor, how to provision, how to look at applications, but also how to create your cloud and start using cloud attributes today in your infrastructure. Now, System Center 2012 is all about delivering that IT as a service. And we have the app owner on one side that cares about how the app runs and whether or not we need to push out an update or how to handle the external users. And there's the data center admin, the sysadmin, that actually cares about all the layers under there, the physical, the network, the storage, where we build on top of with our application. Now, with IT as a service, it all starts with that self-service portal. We want to allow the application owner, whether it's a business user, whether it's an end user, to be able to request their app and their service offering. And we want to capture that in what we call a service model. So up front, we want to package that service up in what are the characteristics of that service, what is the app, what does it cost, how many compute does it need. So we want to wrap that up in a compute model, in a service model, and essentially from there start provisioning it. But once we provision it, we want to do that automatically. If you request a mailbox, there's a fair chance that it's repetitive work. We want to make use of new technologies like runbook automation to be really able to fully automatically provision that service. And from there, we want to configure and deploy that service, that app, on any situation. So whether it's public cloud, whether it's private cloud, virtual or physical world. And once we get that deployed, of course, we want to maintain it, monitor it, operate it, and make sure that it keeps running for the service user, for the app owner. Now, if you map that back to the System Center product, you see that the self-service experience is being delivered on one side by Service Manager with its self-service portal based on SharePoint, where we can actually have our service catalog that people can come in and request. On the other end, we have App Controller, where we can provide a more advanced user, a more maybe business user, a view on his or her VMs, his or her services, which they can then be stopped, can be maintained, can be upgraded, so more a business, an IT-savvy user, I guess. And that would be App Controller. Now, capturing the service model itself is also done in Service Manager, and in the demo at the end, I'll show you how that works. Then we have Orchestrator, the new name for Opalis, which we acquired in 2009. Orchestrator is the piece within System Center that provides you the runbook automation. So we have the runbooks that have all the technical steps to be able to, for instance, provision a service, provision a mailbox, and again, I'll show that in the demo as well. And of course, from a delivery standpoint, Service Manager plays a role because you want to capture that process while we're providing this service. You want to capture financial statements, want to capture information around the process, and for instance also send an email to the user that we actually provisioned his or her request. And then from configuring, deploying, monitoring, operating, all the management tasks you have, there you have virtual machine manager, operations manager, configuration manager, and data protection manager. And all these six products I'll show in the next 75 minutes in my demo, so you have a clear understanding of where they fit if you want to provision and provide apps on your cloud. Now, if you look at scalable, standardized, and predictable applications, there are a few things we need to do to be able to really meet up with the demands we have when providing cloud and providing IT as a service. And the first one being that we need to decouple the application from the operating system. I think most of you might already know AppV for desktops, where you actually had the same decoupling. You had the application in a bubble, if you will. It thought it was talking to the operating system, but the AppV layer actually intervened and make sure that it's not writing directly to the registry, not directly to the file system, but we can maintain the application in a bubble. And then when we want to upgrade or want to move it around, it's just this bubble that we're moving around. And if we're doing things like an OS refresh or other types of management, we can actually maintain that bubble, and it helps you save on administration costs, I guess. Now, the same type of technology is being introduced on the data center side. So with the introduction of Virtual Machine Manager 2012, a core part of VMM is that we provide server AppV. And essentially, it works the same. So we still have that sequencer where we capture the installation of the application and then create this bubble, this stream that represents the application. And the same way we have at the desktop, we can actually move that around from server to server, pretty much independent of any operating system. Now, there are a few differences, of course, between the desktop AppV and the server AppV, because with server AppV, we actually want to punch some holes in the bubble, because we want to see Windows services, we want to monitor the app, so we want to get some transparency from the OS, but we want to maintain the same level of compatibility moving the application around. Now, server AppV with VMM 2012 is a first release, if you will. So we do support a lot of technologies already today, and I'll talk about that in the next few minutes. But with new releases of System Center, you'll actually see that we'll be able to deliver more server AppV technology today. Now, in my demo, I'll show how we'll use server AppV to provision an app on our cloud and be able to upgrade it or move it around or do other management tasks. Now, be able to move it around and see how that service is constructed, how the application works, what components are there that make up the application. We need to define the application, if you will. And again, this is a core part of Virtual Machine Manager. Virtual Machine Manager delivers what we call service templates. And in the service template in VMM, we can specify the application. We can specify the VM attributes, what's the memory we need, what's the processor, what are the other things we need from a VM perspective. We can provide the OS perspective, so things like OS configuration, type of OS, things like sysprep configuration, so what will be the username, product key, IP address, and everything else. And then on top of that, we can actually use the application definition to say, does it need IIS, does it need SQL, configure SQL in this or that way. So we all define these steps in what we call a service template. And that actually helps us going forward to understand how we should monitor, operate this product, this application as well. And I'll show you in a demo how that works. Now, from that service template with the integration between System Center, you see that once VMM is able to actually provision that service on a cloud, on a couple of hypervisors, on your computer, on your storage, we take that definition and it moves over to Operations Manager, where we instantly understand how the application has been deployed. So from there on, we can actually start monitoring. We understand the relation between an app, a VM, and start providing you with in-depth insight into your application from a monitoring perspective. And then again, from there, we can take it even a step further where we provide app controller to the end user and say, this is your service, this is your definition. App controller knows about the definition because of the integration again with VMM. And the end user can just start, stop, upgrade, or do any task he or she likes with the service they got. Now, if you look at that standard application provisioning, we can go a bit further than just provisioning one VM with one application configuration. We can actually, in that service template, define multiple tiers, so multiple items where our application consists of. So in our example, we'll have a web tier, which is an IIS front end for our stock trading application, where we can actually have users connect and do their stock trading on that web page. Now, there'll be an app tier as well, where the app tier will be some kind of logic that'll process that stock trade requests, and there'll be a data tier for things like SQL and backends and databases. And you actually define on those tiers what we call a scale out and health policy. For instance, we'll define on the web tier that at provisioning time, it'll have one instance, so one web server, but during peak times, it could grow up until 4 or 5 instances. Now, this is something where you can maintain a lot of control, if you will. You can take VMM and say, I'll manually provision another web server if we need to meet that demand. But we can also take the integration with Operations Manager to say, if it crosses this threshold, you might want to provision automatically a new tier. Now, because everything is set and configured in that service template, we can just go ahead and provision another instance the same way we did the original one. And with the integration we have on network level, so things like NLB, load balancers, we can actually also, for instance, reconfigure the load balancer to be able to point to that extra tier. Now, we do support all the Windows technologies, so things like IIS, .NET App Service, SQL. Like I said, we can specify the hardware profile, the OS settings. We can support what we call MS Deploy packages. Anybody who knows about IIS, you can create packages that have predefined configuration about your IIS environment. We can do that for all the tiers. We can support, like we said, server app feeds or server app vstreams as part of our service template. And with SQL 2008 R2 and up, we actually support configuring SQL as part of the deployment of the VM. Now, we do want to use the SQL method of preparing an image-based installation, but then we can provide a VHD with a blank SQL, and we can have VMM actually configure what domain account we need, what type of security we'll require, and the databases that need to configure on top of that. And we'll store that in what we call in Virtual Machine Manager, the service template library. And from that library, we can use VMM to deploy, but also from App Controller, we can have somebody else, a business owner, say, this is your compute, this is your part of the cloud, the number of instances you'll deploy from this service template is up to you, this is your quota, and he or she can use App Controller to provision themselves. Now, if you look at the application delivery lifecycle, so we want to maintain a lifecycle, there are a few steps to it. Of course, it all begins by defining the application. What is the application, the tiers, like we just said in the previous slide, what's the configuration of this application that will be running on our cloud? Then in VMM, you'll actually see that we'll start creating a service template to capture those settings digitally in System Center. And then the next step would be to customize the deployment, because you can use the template and you can use that library to deploy, for instance, your production environment, but you could use the same template, of course, to deploy your test non-production environment, which might require some different settings for domain name and accounts. And you can actually specify those as part of the template, as part of the deployment you'll be doing of the template. Next up would be deploying the service. Now, VMM, there as well, is the workhorse that actually does the deployment. So it goes out, talks to the hypervisor, creates a VM, spins up the VM, does the configuration. There's actually a VMM agent as part of the deployment process that talks back to VMM, and it starts up things like server app V, because again, server app V is a core part of VMM. You can't use that standalone. Now, the other step would be is that we have this application running, and it might be running on SQL 2008 R2. It might be running on Windows Server 2008 R2. And you guys get excited from the keynote yesterday, and you all want to go out in 2 months or 3 months or 4 months and get Windows Server 2012. Now, with Windows Server 2012, you'll have a task, of course, of updating the OS. Now, in our situation, it's a matter of updating the template. Because in the template, we specify the OS, we capture the VHD, things are decoupled, the application is decoupled from the OS. So we can redefine the template, do a second revision of the template, and then actually right-click a service and say upgrade. And it'll detect what's the delta. And it sees, oh, I need to go out, update the OS, update this setting, I'll maintain the server at vBubble, and I'll do all this automation for you to actually spin up the new environment. Now, of course, this provides you a bit of downtime because it'll be refreshing things, but it's a clear way and a good way to be updating your services and be able to easily maintain them. Now, those application profiles, of course, are helpful to maintain consistent and predictable applications because, like we said, we want to capture the OS settings, we want to capture the OS versions, we want to be able to update OS versions, we want to capture SQL configuration, want to also be able to execute other items as well as part of this provisioning process. There's a method we provide today from VMM where we can actually talk to other systems via scripts, via PowerShell, and you can actually kick off other systems to be able to configure other items on as part of our service. So let's say you're using non-Microsoft technology, you want to deploy things on Windows like Oracle or something else, and you have a deployment method today you just want to talk to and have it initiate a deployment, you can do so actually by specifying that in VMM. Now, the SQL profiles are fairly extensive because we can do things like named instances. We can actually have different product keys per deployment. We can specify media sources. We can specify who's the initial administrator, specify security mode, the network configuration. We even have support for a SQL configuration file. We can do things like authentication mode, SQL service accounts, and of course run as accounts. Now, server at V, like we said, it starts with a sequencer. And the sequencer is part of VMM installation media. And you take a fresh OS instance, you install the sequencer, you install your application, you capture the process, and it actually delivers you a server at vBubble, which you can then deploy as part of the service template. And like we said, with VMM, we can take that same bubble, maybe update the bubble for an SP1 release of your application, update the bubble itself, and your new application will be available through what we call application abstraction. Now, virtualizing applications is, of course, something that requires knowledge for how sequencing works, but it's fairly straightforward. And I guess 8 out of 10 applications will work with the current version of Server at V. We support things like virtualizing Windows services. We support virtualizing applications on top of IIS 6, IIS 7, IIS 7.5. And of course, with the SP1 release of System Center 2012, we'll start supporting all the new technologies in Windows Server 2012 as well. And we support things like virtualizing the accounts that are actually used by the services and other items within your application. You can also virtualize things like COMPLUS, DCOM, WMI, SQL reporting service, so a lot of technology we support that you can capture today in a bubble, and components like registry settings, .NET, and information we write to disk, of course, as well. Now, there are some applications that might not be able to virtualize. You might end up doing a traditional way, but if we can virtualize 8 out of 10 of our applications, we'll be quickly able to update our applications and maintain them going forward with AppV. Now, that server AppV package itself is a unique package where we actually define the capture of, let's say, our .NET application. And the .NET application might be middleware, and of course, it could be used by 2 or 3 services in your environment. And that's not a problem. We take that server AppV package, we create what we call an application profile. We can have multiple in VMM, and the application profile can be deployed, and this unique server AppV package will be reused, if you will. Now, during runtime, we'll be able to specify all the things we need to specify. So for this application, we have specific SQL connections, specific log files we want to write, or paths to disk. We can actually specify it in the VMM template what the application configuration should be for this profile based on this server AppV package for this service. Now, as you can see, things are either mandatory or optional. Some of the things you might not need, some of the things you really need to get this bubble working. And of course, we support what we call encryption, because if you'll start storing passwords, start storing other items within your server at vBubble, we'll actually encrypt that in our database. With that, I want to give you a first insight in how that works. And I have my laptop here on stage. It's a fairly good laptop. But all the VMs are running on this laptop, and my laptop itself is acting as the hypervisor, as you can see. Now, I've spun up a Windows 7 VM, and on the Windows 7 VM, and I think you see that here at the bottom, I've installed all the System Center 2012 consoles, so I'll be able to connect from here to all of the System Center products. If we go to VMM, you actually see here the VMM 2012 console, and you see that my laptop is actually connected, and it acts as a hypervisor with things like 15% CPU average. And from here, we can already, for instance, look at overview and get a bit of insight on how the hypervisor is running. Now, if you can see on the left bottom workspace, I'm in the Fabric workspace. And with the Fabric workspace, we can specify the hypervisors we want to connect to, but we can also specify, for instance, the storage. So if I go here, I've installed a NetApp provider. I actually have a NetApp emulator on my laptop, which has 6 gigs of LUNs of capacity. And I've created a few pools, a few LUNs, if you will, and provided a classification on gold versus silver storage. Now, if you look at network, I've defined one logical network. I've not connected any load balancers except the support for Microsoft NLB. And I've not created any virtual IP addresses yet, but we could, of course. Now, if you look at the hypervisors, if you see the button called Add Resources, you actually see that we have support for Hyper-V, Zen Server, VMware ESX. And going forward with SP1 releases and after that, we'll be updating that support, of course, for all these heterogeneous environments. And we can also connect to things like VMware vCenter Server. Now, on top of that, we have what we call the library. And if I scroll down and expand, there we go, my folder a bit, and I'll quickly zoom this way. You see that I've created a structure for my application called StockTrader. And under StockTrader, I have a few folders, a folder called DeckPack. Those are SQL configuration files, if you will, SAV, Server App V. And if we click in there, you see that for our business service, I already captured a virtual application, so Server App vBubble. And if you look at things like VHD, SQL, we can have SQL scripts, we can have web deploy packages, so all the basic building blocks to create our service. And I've gone ahead of time and prepared all those items. Now, if we look at the library space in the top, of course, we can specify VM templates, the regular way of deploying VMs. But we have the notion now of what we call service templates. And I've prepared the StockTrader service template. And if you open the designer, we actually get a graphical overview of how our service actually works. And I'll zoom in a bit. Hopefully can get it in this resolution. Yep. So StockTrader is a four-tiered application. On the left-hand side, we have, a middle tier, which has a server at vBubble, the orange-red colored item. We have a second tier called the SQL tier with all the 5 SQL databases, a web tier with 2 web applications, and then a fourth tier, actually also middleware, which has another server at vBubble. If I double-click, for instance, the SQL tier, you actually see that we have release management, and I'll create a second version of our template. So if we update things, we can actually apply the second version. We can have a look at the SQL tier, and we'll see that we have the basic items. So if you look at hardware configuration, we say this is a Hyper-V profile, which just specifies the maximum things we can do within a VM. And we could say static memory, dynamic memory. We could say video adapter, hard disk devices, connected to which network, et cetera, et cetera. If you go to OS configuration, you see the naming convention. The hashes actually mean that it'll start incrementing numbers when we deploy this service. We can specify things like the initial admin password, the type of operating system, and then things like the roles. So if you want to enable an IIS role or another role on this tier, You can go ahead and specify it here. Same goes for features. And again, with SP1 of System Center in the near future, we'll be supporting Windows Server 2012 roles and features as well. Now, if we go to application configuration, then you see that we've prepared a few application configurations already, but we can actually add several types. So I've prepared a few SQL configurations, but we can add a web application, a server V application, or a web application as part of this tier, as part of this deployment. Now, if you look at one of those, it's actually what we call the DAC, PAC packages that specify the configuration for this database. Then if we go into the SQL Server configuration, you'll actually see that as part of this deployment, as part of this VHD, you will actually be configuring the SQL instance, giving it a name, in our case not specifying a product key, and then things like initial configuration, like media source, initial administrations, etc. Now, we've specified for all the tiers, and it's visually outlined if you see here at the bottom that they all connect to the same network, which will be the production network. But then when I click the web tier, which is this one, you'll actually see in the bottom the scale-out policy. So like we said, initially we'll get one instance when we deploy the service, but based on, well, traffic, based on demand, we can actually scale up to a maximum of 5, or when we have app control and when we've delegated the admin, somebody else can scale up to 5 as part of the demand. Now, if we hit configure deployment, this is where we'll see on the left-hand side the other configuration we can do. It prompts us for the destination, so we can say this will be the production release. And we can pick one of our clouds, so we can pick a specific host or one of our clouds. And then on the left-hand side, you get the configuration items for this particular deployment. So in our case, a production deployment where we specify admin password, machine names, etc. I've already gone ahead and deployed this service because, well, copying all these VHDs and doing all this configuration is not something I could achieve in the next 30 minutes. So I've gone ahead and actually already provided you with the deployment, and I'll delete the second version. If I go to VMs and services, and I click back to the VM view, and I click back to my laptop, you'll actually see the same view we just saw in Hyper-V Manager, all the VMs running on this particular host. Now, how did we actually create these clouds? How did we get these clouds? There's a button called Create Cloud in VMM, and we can take some of your compute, some of your hypervisor, some of your storage, some of your network, and combine them to cloud and provide you with a cloud. So we could say, tag it Europe Cloud. It asks us for which of the hypervisors you want to include in this cloud. You want to do a VMware resource pool as part of this. You want to select some Hyper-V hosts. I only have one folder, only containing one host, so I'll select that one. It asks you to select the logical network that will be available as part of this cloud, any load balances you might have, any virtual IP addresses you might want to support. Then link back to the storage we defined in the Fabric workspace. So in this case, I'll say we'll be able to deploy it on the Gold storage. Any library paths, like we said, all the things we stored there to be able to deploy a service. But I guess this screen is the most important one, setting the capacity for this cloud. What's the maximum capacity we want to give out to another user, to an end user, to a business owner? And we can limit it from the number of virtual CPUs, number of memory, number of storage on top of what we had defined just yet. Custom points, so if you want to define my small VM is 1 point, my big VM is 4 points, you can do that. And the number of virtual machines, just specify 10, 20, 100 virtual machines you want to have running as a maximum on this cloud. And then the capability profile, we'll be able to run Hyper-V VMs on top of this. And then it will actually create our Tagged Europe cloud. And then when we go ahead and deploy VMs or services, we can select this cloud, and VMM will go out and find the best hypervisor, the best compute to actually deploy this on. Now, if I go to my private cloud, you actually see that as part of this stock trader deployment, I got 4 VMs. Every tier had 1 VM as a starting point for the deployment, and they're called stock something.contoso.com. But if I hit the services button, you actually see that VMM now has an understanding of the application and the dependencies. So we can zoom in on all the tiers, see which VM in this case is the deployed VM, and under the VM see which of the items are actually deployed as part of the server. So we have a more integrated understanding, a more service-centric approach of deploying your application. Now, if I right-click, you actually see that this understanding helps me to also do some of the administration tasks, because if I want to start this service, and it's not started today because the VMs are still stopped, I can just click the highest level, say start, and we actually boot up the VMs in the correct order, and we'll make sure that the service is running, and we'll come back to that in a minute. And then if you right-click the service, you actually can say that scale out, and then as part of the demand, we could say we want an extra web tier. There we go. Next. We will leave everything blank. It'll generate its own virtual machine name. Next. Etc. And when I hit scale out, it will actually spin up an extra VM, deploy the bubble again, and if things like load balancers are configured, I can actually have those reconfigured to be able to, well, split traffic to the new two VMs. Okay. So that about deploying consistent and flexible applications. Now, this was a clear example on how to do it in your situation, on a private cloud, if you will, taking VMM, taking System Center, taking Hyper-V to provision an application flexibly on your private cloud. But, of course, we also have the public cloud offering. And in, what was it, 2 weeks ago, Microsoft announced that the current release of Azure actually supports what we call infrastructure as a service now, where we can take a VM and persistently run it in the application cloud, Microsoft Azure. And we want to be able to manage that from one single pane, if you want to take System Center, and whether it's whether it's Azure, whether it's private cloud, want to do the same approach and actually be able to take advantage of Azure if you require some. Now, this is where actually System Center App Controller comes in. From System Center App Controller, we can connect back to VMM, like we just saw with all the library items, all the VMs, all the services deployed. But we can also link back into our Azure subscriptions and start managing the services there. But with the new release, also start provisioning items and VMs on that Azure cloud. Now, managing that Azure subscription, like we said, is done from App Controller, but it's based on PKI. So we actually use certificates to talk back to Azure, to the management API, and connect back into your subscription. This requires you to provide a certificate beforehand in Azure to be able to connect from App Controller. But from there, we'll use that certificate, we'll use the subscription ID, we'll use the password of the certificate to securely actually talk to Azure, whether it's the Azure production environment or the, what we call Azure staging environment. Now, we could understand that Azure, that you have multiple Azure subscription, one for production. There might be a business unit with its own budget that has a subscription, but you want to provide one layer of management. So with System Center App Controller, we can actually connect back to multiple Azure subscriptions, and from there on start granularly delegating rights to business owners for that piece of the public cloud and that piece of the private cloud. Now, enabling self-service, of course, is all about delegation with control. So we want to take advantage of the templates we have in Virtual Machine Manager and be able to deploy them, if allowed, on our private cloud and public cloud. But like we saw in the Cloud Wizard, we want to be able to set a quota so that people won't reach the maximum of our infrastructure or only use the budget they have assigned for this year. And we take that into account when actually App Controller is talking to VMM to see what are the maximums and what's the quota we have within VMM. Now, it's also about empowering so that they can, at their own discretion, be able to deploy services without our interference. So what they can actually do is connect back from App Controller into the library of VMM and take the bits and pieces they want to use and deploy the number of instances they can deploy on any of the clouds. And, of course, last but not least, having one single management point, one portal, one web page where you can direct your users to, and with their AD user, with their username and password they already know, be able to spin up all these extra items and be able to track that with things like job auditing, change history, versioning, things you also saw on the service template side of things. Now, let's have a look at how to manage multiple clouds from System Center. There we go. And I'll first connect into Windows Azure. Hopefully my internet connection will work. So I'll connect into windows.azure.com. Of course, it prompts you for your live ID. I have just one subscription that's linked into this live ID. And I've actually converted already to the new preview portal where Azure uses the new Metro style to allow you to manage your Azure subscription. And this is the portal, of course, where initially you set up your subscription, you'll set up all the things you need. And the things I've set up is a cloud service called Contoso My To Do. So Contoso My To Do, or My To Do, is actually a sample you can download from the Windows Azure SDK. It's free. It's on the Microsoft site. You can just take that if you want to play around with a pre-compiled application you can use in Azure. And I've gone ahead and created a Contoso version. I have a storage account and a database account, but I won't be looking into that in this demo. But if I click on my cloud service, you actually see that I took that My To Do. I provisioned it on Azure and currently in production. You can see in production, that's bold and black. There are two cores, two instances running. And if you look at the current screen, it's almost no CPU time because nobody's actually connecting to that service. But if you scroll down, you see there's an IP address associated, some version, and there's a URL. And if I click on the URL, I get the application itself. So this is the application URL I would give out to my application users, and them not really knowing that it's at this moment being hosted at Windows Azure. Now, Windows Azure itself, and if you look at the new Metro portal, it does already provide you quite some capabilities, because if I click on monitor, you'll see that for this application that I can drill into things like CPU time, but I can also add metrics and start looking from here what are the characteristics of my application, what should I do, am I still in control of monitoring. I can configure, I can scale, etc. But I want to take this, I want to take my VMM environment and provide that one layer of management. And that's why we said where App Controller comes in. Now, App Controller is a web-based application itself. So if I go to the URL, it prompts you for my username and password. It's AD integrated, so I can just take my credentials. And of course, I'm logging in as administrator. I have all the rights, but you could delegate to various personas. And with App Controller, I've already set up a few connections. If I look at my current connections, you see there are two connections, one into the VMM that I'm running here, and one into Windows Azure, the subscription I have. And if I double-click on that subscription, there we go. But we can take the certificate I have to talk back into Azure. Now, there's a third connection type we'll be introducing with SP1. It's called the Service Provider Framework, SPF. This is where a hoster, so for instance in Holland, AccessFraw, KPN, one of the big hosters, can actually provide you with a certain URL. App Controller can talk to the URL, and you can actually consume clouds and consume compute from their environment and be able to use App Controller again as one single pane of glass of providing, provisioning, maintaining, and administrating your environment. Now, if I look at clouds, you'll actually see a consolidated view where, well, the three clouds I've defined in VMM show up, but also the Azure cloud, the subscription I have. If I click on virtual machines, I only have virtual machines running today on my laptop, on my Hyper-V private cloud. But if I look at services, you'll actually see both the stock trader service, and I was not too good in naming my Azure service. It's called 1.0, but there you should, of course, have the name of my to-do. And if I look at stock trader, I click open diagram. Again, I get the same understanding of how the application works, and also the app controller, the end user, can right-click and do the same task on stopping, starting from a service perspective and doing some maintenance tasks. Same goes essentially for the Azure subscription. If I hit open diagram, I'll actually get the deployment of my to-do and my two instances running, and from here I can scale up, start, spin up extra instances, or even scale down or do other maintenance tasks. Now, if you look at VMM, there's an interesting thing that was actually just released as a beta on the Microsoft side, which is called the Server App V Packaging Tool. And what it actually allows you, and this is quite unique, and this is where you see the consistency within Microsoft environments, we can actually take this package, so a predefined server app V package, we can actually use an access key, and I'll quickly check up the access key. So we can actually browse, and I'll expand it a bit, to our VMM library. We have the server app V folder. We have the business service folder we just saw in VMM. It has what we call the project file for app V. And we can take this bubble, if you will, and actually convert it, and I'll hit next. We can actually convert it to an Azure instance. So we can take this server app V application, we can convert it to an Azure package, upload it to Azure, and have the same application running, not on your private cloud, but on your public cloud, and consume it from there. Now, if you look at, and I'll switch here, if you look at clouds management and having the public cloud, having your private cloud, of course, we said in one of the first slides, it's all about the process as well. We want to be able to provide this technology, but from an integrated way, so processes like incident management, change management, problem management, but also service request management, actually are maintained from one point of view. Now, this is the console of Service Manager. And Service Manager, again, integrates with VMM, with all of the other System Center products. And what you see is that I've already gone ahead and set up some connectors, a connector to AD, connector to OpsMan, connection to VMM, etc. And then if you look in configuration items, essentially the CMDB within Service Manager, and we click on business services, you actually see that StockTrader was configured here as what we call a business service as part of the integration between the System Center products. So if I double-click StockTrader, I get, of course, the process view of this same business service, so I can see, I can set who are the users, who's the service owner, what's my SLA, configure all these process items around my service. But if I hit the service components tab, you actually see the integration at work where VMM talks to Service Manager to say the current release of this application has these VM, these tiers, and I can actually from here also start extending. So for this service, if I want to do things like availability, register other information, you see that we've configured this for a customer in Holland where they actually want to specify more information for this service. Now, if you look at the Service Manager configuration, there's what we call a cloud services node. And the cloud services node allows you to specify some of the process items around your cloud provisioning. So with cloud services, if it shows up, there it goes, we can do things like, of course, set up the connectors, but also things like the notification channel, if you want to report back to somebody that the service was actually provided and provisioned, want to configure cost properties, cost centers, want to provide all these process means around the deployment. And if I go to cost properties, I could, for instance, say what's the cost for a gigabyte of memory per day, a gigabyte of storage a day, et cetera, et cetera. And again, this is a first release of what we call the Cloud Services Process Pack, but going forward with SP1 and future releases, we'll even be extending more on these types of technologies within System Center. Now, this allows you to go and publish the request itself to what we call a portal, the self-service portal within Service Manager. And as you heard in the beginning slide, this is part of SharePoint, so you can either have Service Manager spin up a SharePoint for you and just use the portal, or if you have SharePoint today, take that web part, put it in your current SharePoint, and start providing these service offerings. In this case, I've published what I call a private cloud offering, and under there I have a few available requests. I can request for the capacity pool, I can request the service, I can request a virtual machine, etc., etc. If I do the service request and I hit next, it actually allows me to go to the request form. And these are predefined forms you get out of the box from Microsoft. If you want to customize them, if you want to add questions, want to add logic, or just remove steps, you can do so by going into Service Manager and customizing these templates. But I can say I want a non-production version of our stock trader service. Well, to me, it's a low urgency. I want it on the production capacity pool. I can do refresh. I had a problem this morning as well. Actually, here it should have showed up the stock trader service that we have configured in VMM. We can click that. We say additional requirements, hit submit, and it will actually spin up a request. Now, let me do the same thing for a virtual machine to show you that it's not smoke and mirrors. We can go to virtual machine request. Go to request form and say, I'll have a stock trader VM on the production pool, enter a name, well, stock BSL002, or just leave it blank. Next, normal virtual machines 1, the templates, Windows Server 2008.02, logical network, production, decommissioning date if you require so, and then the initial access will be provisioned for the administrator user or another AD user. And at the end, it will actually be submitted as what we call a service request. And seeing the hyperlink there, it actually allows the user to track the request while we kick off the process and start, well, doing things like a reviewer process, who needs to vote on this to be able to allow it, update the CMDB, update financial statements before we actually start provisioning it. But the provisioning part, preferably, of course, should be done by what we call runbook automation. And that's a key part of System Center 2012 as well. If you look here, I've put on screen the System Center Orchestrator console, and Orchestrator being the new name for what we used to call Opalis. And on the right-hand side, you see what we call integration packs. And if you look at Active Directory, there are a few activities on creating users, deleting users. If you look at Operations Manager, things like alerts. And if you look at things like Service Manager, we can get a certain request and start initiating our deployment from here. And it's fairly easy because it's a drag and drop interface. So if you want to automate things, you can just go ahead and click a first activity. Say, I want to, yes, create a new runbook. Say, check every 30 seconds. I'll configure that task to say every 30 seconds. What I want to do in the next 30 seconds, I want to actually go out to Service Manager and say, get object, and we'll rename that to say get any new service requests. You can drag a line, say this is the following activity, configure this activity again to say this is the connection to Service Manager, this is the type of info I want to get, provide filters, and build a runbook from there, if you will. Now, if you go ahead and look at some of these service requests, for instance, if you want to automate that provisioning a mailbox can be done from the request we have, the form we have in the self-service portal, and then kicking off an orchestrator runbook, you could say, I want to initialize data from Service Manager, some of the information we want to capture, and then take that information to say, I'll create a user, I'll provision a mailbox, I'll update the service request, and from there on, Service Manager continues with fulfilling the request from a process side. So Orchestrator being a key part of System Center and a key part of clouds, delivering on automation in an easy, consistent way. Now, if I have this information, I've got this virtual machine or this service provisioned, you want to look at the information on, well, the costs, how many VMs did I provision? What's the cost of the VMs? We specify the cost per day, but I want to have a consistent view. Well, Service Manager provides a lot of reporting, but one of the powerful things I see is the connection back into Excel. And what we actually can do with Service Manager now is look at one of the predefined cubes. We provide what we call cubes within Service Manager. You load up Excel, you get the pre-rendered Excel file, and you can have a look at things like the number of VMs that were actually created, the cost of this period, and we can pivot around certain time frames and certain get certain information back. Now, that's nice, but we want to do some other management tasks as well, of course. We want to be able to monitor this app. We want to monitor the VM. We want to backup the app. We want to backup the VM. We want to do all these kinds of activities. Now, one of the key items within System Center is Data Protection Manager. Okay. And Data Protection Manager is actually the title that allows you to, well, protect your data, in essence, backup and restore the VMs and the data in there. Now, the unique thing about DPM is that we talk to the hypervisor. So it doesn't necessarily need an agent within the VM. We nicely talk to the hypervisor and then use things like volume shadow copies to get a coordinated copy of all the information within the VM, the information within actually the application. Now, I've gone ahead and I've actually configured what we call protection groups. We specify the group of information we want to protect. That's fairly easy. One of the new things we'll be providing in DPM 2012 SP1 is that today we can store our backups on disk, we can store our backups on tape, but there'll be a third method where we can actually backup our information to Azure. Now, you might go like, I don't want my data on that cloud. That's fine, don't use it. But there might be scenarios where you want to use that as a third or a fourth point where you want to store it or want to store non-confidential data, for instance. And you can actually take that same Azure subscription and use DPM to backup to that. Now, I've gone ahead and on that stock SQL tier, on that SQL VM, I've had protection for a few databases. And what I actually did is I configured what we call self-service recovery. So for this protection group, I can specify an AD group and have them individually, themselves, be able to restore data without ever touching the DPM console. So he or she can have the app controller interface, can have this self-service interface for DPM as well. And how does that work? Well, we'll RDP into that stock SQL server. Stock SQL 001. There we go. Should be spun up by now. And there you have on the desktop, if it's protected by DPM, the ability to create a DPM self-service request. And let's imagine the stock trader DB went down. There's some data corruption. There's a reason anyway. We want to get back to the previous version of the database. We say we want to connect to the DPM server. We want to do a new recovery job. We'll say next. We'll say it's this SQL instance or whatever SQL instance I have rights to. We'll say it's the stock trader DB. We'll hit next. We'll have the recovery point of, let's say, the 11th, 11 in the morning. We could, well, depending on rights, recover it to the original instance of SQL server, copy it to a network folder. We'll say you can restore it to the stock SQL server to see restore. Let's see if we have a... Yep. And I'll just empty that folder, see restore. We'll say next. Apply the security settings of the recovery point version. Hit next or hit recover. And what you actually see here is that it'll start recovering the MDF-LDF file. And the DBA can actually take that, attach them, and do some more work again. And actually have that self-service experience for even recovering his or her data. Okay. Now we want to switch back. There we go. Of course, the final piece being that we provision things, that we can maintain things, we can backup, restore things, upgrade things. We want to monitor things. We want to make sure that we have in-depth analysis on how things are running and whether or not things are running smoothly. And we think we have the complete application monitoring solution with System Center Operations Manager. Not only can we monitor the infrastructure, so with System Center 2012, we have integrated network monitoring, With the integration with VFM, we can see storage information, have a look at the hypervisor, there are hardware management packs, we can look at all these items. But on top of that, we can actually have a look in the application, and that's one of the unique things of the Microsoft suite. You can have in-depth application analysis. We can actually now with System Center 2012, with what we call application performance monitoring, APM, use APM to actually look at the code, look at .NET, and see whether or not the application is correctly being executed and whether or not it's available. We can do that from server side, but we can also look at client side, where we, during runtime, inject some JavaScript code and actually see things like load time latencies and all these exceptions occurring. And when you, as an end user or your customer, is experiencing that yellow screen on, well, exception something, APM will be kicking in and showing you the information why that's happening. Is that a SQL connection error or maybe a connection problem to the SQL server itself? And we have the option of doing synthetic transactions, call it user simulations, if we will. We can simulate what the user is doing. So open up a web page, do a certain transaction, and see whether or not your web shop or your stock trader portal is actually working, how the user would actually execute that. Now, again, we'll use that single pane of glass to show you this integrated way, and I'll show you in a demo right now or in a few minutes how that works. Now, this is nice for your private cloud because we can see all these layers. We can see the whole private cloud, if you will. But we also want to look at Windows Azure. Although we have what we call a service level agreement with Azure on the amount of downtime that can occur in a year, which is just over 4 hours in a year with Azure, so 99.95, which is quite high, you actually want to see, do I have enough? With two instances, can I still service my customers? What's the storage we take? Because if storage grows, I might need to pay more. So I want to have a capacity management view. I want to take the same information we have with the private cloud on-premise and do that for the public cloud with Windows Azure. Again, we can do that with Operations Manager because the same way we connect with App Controller, we can actually take that management API, take that certificate that we provided within Azure and talk to Azure to say, hey, provide us this performance information, availability information, capacity information, etc. Now, that means that for all these items, we can actually get the information back in Operations Manager, and for both public, private, and traditional, we can see the status on-premise and, of course, in the public cloud. Now, how does the APM side work if you want to monitor .NET applications in depth? It's fairly easy. In the previous version of System Center, you had to do some configuration work with a separate agent, separate database, which had a learning curve. With APM in 2012, it's fully integrated. So we go to a wizard. It already shows you what are the .NET instances I have in my environment. List them. You can actually pick one. And based on that .NET application, start configuring what are the server-side configuration items I want to look at, what's the client-side configuration I want to look at, and then provide that back into APM. Now, of course, the end of monitoring is that, not the end, but how should we consume monitoring, is that we actually have dashboards, a clear way of, seeing the availability, seeing the performance, and dashboards are a great way to consume that information. And with Operations Manager 2012, we can easily create dashboards in 4 steps. We select the folder to show our dashboard in and create our dashboard called Dashboard View. We take a template, so a 3-column layout, a 4-column layout, a 5-column layout. We configure the widgets, so we can take individual things like, I want to show a health state here, I want to show a performance graph there, I want to show something else here, and take all these widgets and show things like, .NET request times, and then share it through either the console, through the web console, or through SharePoint. And that last thing is new. We can actually take that dashboard and publish it in SharePoint, and like we just saw, provide one view of monitoring for your end users and delegate it to several business units. Now, let's see, and this will be my final demo, how monitoring works within System Center. This is the System Center Operations Manager 2012 console. For those who are familiar with 2007, it hasn't changed that much from a console perspective, but under the hood, a lot of changes actually happened. Now, what I did is I actually already configured the VMM integration, and if I expand the VMM folder, and for instance, I go to, I should have clicked this one, host health. It'll actually show my laptop. And at the moment, I have a warning because of all the CPU time and all the VMs that are spinning. I can right-click, hit diagram view, hit yes, and I'll actually see my host. I can expand it. I can have a look at VMs. I can have a look under VMs on things like virtual NIC, but also drill down in things like the operating system running in the application, and again, expanding way further into the application, in this case, for instance, the Active Directory domain controller role. Now, this is the same case for VMs, of course, but also for services. Like we saw, the same definition from VMM actually gets expanded and pushed into Operations Manager so we can have a monitoring view. Again, same four tiers. We can expand, have a look at the SQL VM, drill down even more into all the SQL bits that are running under there. But also if you look at storage, the same LUNs we found in VMM get pushed into Operations Manager. I can have a look at the critical VM or the critical storage LUN, I'm sorry, and look at things like, oh, performance view, what's the current capacity, what's the total capacity, and take that line and see whether or not storage is actually growing or declining. Now, like we said, there's network monitoring out of the box. So this is nice. This is the hypervisor perspective, but there's a node called network monitoring. And on my laptop, I have four network devices that are actually being simulated. And if I click on Cisco Switch, which is a simulated 2950, you can actually see that we can drill into the switch. And I'll expand the healthy bits, things like memory, but also ports. If I expand on the ports a bit more, you'll see all these interfaces. Now, some of the interfaces might be with a white round icon. That means it's not monitored. Why is it not monitored? We actually detect whether or not a cable is in there, whether or not the interface is administratively down. On the right-hand side, you see in the tasks that we can configure and enable monitoring, but once we plug a cable in, we'll actually start monitoring that automatically. Now, we do provide dashboards. So on the right-hand side, we have what we call a network node dashboard. And if I click network node dashboard, you'll actually see that it shows me for this network node the information. On the left-hand side, it should show the vicinity view. In this resolution, it doesn't show a line. That's too bad. It'll actually connect the two devices, show red line or show green line, depending on whether or not it's working. It'll crawl in your network. It'll find other network devices. It'll start building this web and showing you how things are connected. But you could also drill down on things like response times and drill down in all these pieces. Now, I think you might agree that we have fairly good monitoring of all the Microsoft items as well. We can work with third-party vendors to do things like, if you want to do like Oracle monitoring, we are heterogeneous, we do cross-platform, and we also do things like capacity management if you want to drill into what's the capacity of my cloud, is it actually expanding, is it declining, and we can have clear views for things like CPU, disks, memory, and have an understanding of when or not this will actually be run out of capacity. But we want it to be server-centric, so it's nice and all that we can look at all these components, but to us it matters the way how we configured StockTrader and whether or not StockTrader as a whole is working. Now, this is something you can do with the new Visio plugin. So we take Visio, we actually say we'll prepare what we call a dashboard, and I'll say, well, my business application is fairly complex. I have a few web tiers, I have some databases running, I have a few email services I depend on, and I visually actually show you how the application is working. Now, with the new Operations Manager plugin, I can actually say I want to connect Visio to OpsMan and say, well, we'll take this icon, we'll group it, we'll say link shape, and we can actually connect the shape to real Operations Manager data. So it will prompt me. I'll say I want to connect it with a database. It'll retrieve data from Operations Manager. I'll say StockTraderDB. And now the icon is actually linked with the Operations Manager data, and you can see that below. If I hit F5 on the big screen, I can also already show you a dashboard. But what if I want to do it live? What if I want to have it refresh every minute, show it to my coworker, etc.? I can actually now in Visio say, I'll share it, I'll save it to SharePoint. Now, how does that work? You go to SharePoint. I created a default site, just a plain SharePoint site. I published the VSD file in the folder. And then when I click the VSD link, it'll actually hopefully render as what we call Visio Web Services. You can just provide the URL to your coworker or the end user, and it'll refresh, if I say enable always, it'll refresh the Visio diagram. It renders in Silverlight, so a lot of the browsers are supported, and you can actually show it on multiple platforms. Now, that's a quick highlight about monitoring with System Center. So if we look back at the application delivery lifecycle, we saw that we were able to capture the application specification in System Center, define what we need to be able to provision the application. We put that in what we call a service template in VMM and show you how to configure that, then customize the deployment, production, non-production, etc. Deploy it, VMM goes out and deploys the service, or if it's a complexer situation, we can have an orchestrator runbook kick in as well. And then when we do the versioning of the templates, we can actually have the application update from there. Now, to summarize this, we feel that cloud is a journey. Today, you already have a lot of compute storage network. You might have some pieces of System Center. But the four attributes of clouds that you want to create within your organization, so the support for, well, mixing all these elements and creating a cloud, self-service, then things like enabling management, enabling monitoring, are things we can do with System Center and Hyper-V today. But like we saw, we support heterogeneous environments, so VMware Sense Server we can support today as well. We support private, public, well, what we today call the hybrid situations, where you have a bit of both, and we can do that from a single pane of glass. And maybe the most important part, it's ready now. So with System Center 2012, you can go out and try this today. On Microsoft.com, there's a trial version. There are a lot of labs here today, a lot of sessions throughout the week. So if you want to know more about managing, you should try and follow some of the System Center sessions. There's an SP1 CTP as well, if you want to play around with the newer features even, the SP1 that's coming in the second half of this year. But also nice new things like support for OS X and other platforms. You can go ahead and try SP1. And I'd encourage you to look at the Microsoft Learning, Microsoft TechNet, and the other sites as well. And, well, thank you for attending. Please submit your evals. We want to know how you found the session, what can we change, what content do you like next year or in other sessions. So please go ahead and submit your evaluations. It really helps us improve on sessions. And again, it's me between you and lunch now, so I'll quit it. Thank you for attending, and have a great week at TechEd.